Good morning, everybody. It's time for us to get started with our Bible class this morning. Everybody can make their way to your seats. We'll go ahead with lesson number 6 this morning, learning to deny self. Last week, we started talking about the idea of meekness and how that is part of self-control and how that plays into denying self. And we spend a good amount of time kind of not just defining the word. That's important to understand because the word doesn't translate exactly from Greek to English. There's some different ways that we look at that. The idea of humbleness, the idea of gentleness, different things like that. But we also wanted to see, and then we looked at some examples throughout the Bible of how we see it in practice. And we want to keep that in mind because as we think about the idea of meekness as it relates to self-control, one of the main things that is important to realize is how we see that in practice. And that's what we're going to go with this morning. We're going to recap a couple of things real quick and then go into that idea of what examples we see of meekness. And we're just going to look at two basic ones this morning. But hopefully what you'll be able to do as we look at that is apply several different situations or attitudes that we see in these two individuals and how they exhibit meekness, but recognize their character. That their character is not just a weak character, a timid character, somebody who gets run over because of a difficulty or because of a trial, because that's not what meekness is. And we tried to establish that last week as we thought together about that in the definition of it. So that's where we're going this morning. And we're going to apply next week. We're going to kind of see how we can apply some of that in our day-to-day lives today. After we've seen all these things, defined it, saw the examples, how can we put that into specific practice? So let's think about those things together this morning. Let's begin as we go to God in prayer, and then we'll think about the lesson together. Our great and awesome God, our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you this morning, recognizing your greatness and your power. We recognize your wisdom and foresight. We're so very thankful that you have given us these examples, that you have revealed in your word the type of attitude and demeanor that we can learn and that we can put into practice in our life to be more like our Savior. We're so grateful for His example, the things that we saw Him do. Father, we stand in awe of His strength of character, His power and glory, yet His humility and how He dealt with men day to day, how He dealt with friends, how He dealt with enemies, how He dealt with trials. In the most difficult situations, we see His good and victorious example. We pray that you would help us to emulate that as we learn about it and as we understand what you would have us to be. Pray for open minds and willing hearts this morning as we think about those things together. We pray, Father, that we might understand the things that we find in your word just as you have intended them, so that we can glorify you in our life. Please be with us this morning. We're grateful for this day, for this place to worship you without fear and distraction. And we pray that you would be honored in what we do here today. Please be with so many that are on our minds even this morning that deal with the difficulties of this life and in various ways. Help us to encourage them and they might find strength and comfort in you. We ask these things humbly this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we ended with this summary, and as you try to understand what meekness is, it's not just one word that's going to describe it, but when you look at the kind of the whole picture of it, this is what you see. Humility towards God and man, we'll see that this morning in some of our examples. Submission to God's will, that's a very important aspect of the idea of meekness. It doesn't mean, again, weakness or being timid, but rather submission to God's will. When you choose to yield yourself to something, that takes strength. That's important. to recognize that and to understand that. It's not just giving in. It takes strength to yield to something other than your own will. And that's what we see in meekness. Accepting the discipline we receive. We'll see that in our examples this morning. Gentleness and mildness, those go hand in hand. Sometimes where the word meekness is translated in the older versions of the Bible, or the more recent versions translate them as gentleness or mildness. And the idea, of course, of self-control, mastery, and strength. That's why we're studying it. That's why it's in this book of denying yourself. Because it takes strength. Because it takes self-control to be able to have meekness. And so, just very quickly, we looked at four really foundational concepts of it last week. And we used Psalm 37 as where we would go with that. That meek people trust in God. And when you look there in Psalm 37 and verse 5, the last part of that, to trust in Him, He will act. And being able to appreciate, again, the fact that when we trust in God, we allow God's time frame to be what we go by instead of our own. A lot of times we might say we trust in God, but we get a little anxious, we get a little upset, we get frustrated when things don't happen when we want them to happen. And we may pray about it, we may say that we're giving ourselves to God, but submitting to His will and trusting in Him means that we're willing to wait for when He will act, and we believe that He will. And meek people trust in God. They don't lose control about the situation, they don't fly off the handle. Strength under control. That's what we see in meekness. That's what we see in Jesus. We talked about that they commit their way to God. That was the first part of that verse. That's how you're able to trust in God. You make a commitment, you make a decision, really, is what you want to think about. You have decided that I am going to do things God's way. When you think about Jesus approaching the cross, and we'll talk about a couple of those verses later this morning, He had decided to commit His way to God no matter what. And you see, when He's in the garden praying, asking for this cup to pass, if it's possible, that He was desiring something else in that moment, but He had committed Himself to God's way, and He trusted in Him. And in that, we saw His meekness, because He had the power to do something different, but He didn't. Strength under control. And so they are quiet before God. They wait before Him. And that's what the psalmist says there in verse 7. To be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's hard when we are facing difficulty. That's hard when we're facing trial. That's hard when people are not being very nice. And when people are not acting like they're supposed to act. That's one of the most difficult things we deal with. But we see meek people able to do that. Be able to be quiet before God, to wait for Him, to trust in Him. I'm going to say it again. That's strength under control. And lastly, we looked at that they don't fret over the wicked. That's something hard for us not to do. To be upset about what's happening, especially when there is evil involved. The last part of verse 7, the one who, do not fret yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. We see injustice. We see unfairness. It's hard not to say something. That's hard for me. It's hard to not say something when you know that you are right or that you have the advantage. Strength under control. And so that's what we see in a lot of these different ways. So understand this. There's a couple of places in James that talk about it, and Josh is going to touch on that in some of the lessons coming forward. But we already talked about James 1, so I think I'm okay to bring this one up. But James 1 in verse 19, I just thought I'd bring this up as we start to talk about Moses here next, that meekness is teachable. Last week we discussed a little bit about, you know, is meekness just a personality trait? Is it just a type of person? Well, there may be some who are more prone to it than others or who can accept it more easily than others, but meekness is something that all of us can put on. God expects us to put it on, and it's teachable. James says it here in verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Oftentimes when we don't have meekness, when we haven't embraced it, it's because we have let our anger or our passion or our sense of justice get out of control. And so James tells us here, that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, he says, put away all filthiness and the rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. If James is telling us to do this with meekness, then that means we are able to do it. We want to keep that in mind. To not say, well, that's not something I can do. I'm just not that type of person. Become that type of person. God tells us that we can. Alan?
Yeah, don't you think humbleness also is a need for Christians?
Sure.
Because if we think we're so right in our religion, we can't be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, meekness has humility tied very closely with it, because if you can't exhibit strength under control if you just you have no humility. And we'll see that in some of these examples this morning. So, that's, as you think about all those things, the first example that we want to talk about is Moses. We're just going to talk about two in the time we have left this morning. And I've done a lot of talking here in the first 10 minutes of class. So I'm interested to hear what you have to think about some of these things going forward with Moses. And we'll read this verse as we think about this. Let's read these verses and then talk a little bit about the idea of meekness and why it's important, what we see in him. Here in verse 1 of Numbers 12, it says, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now notice verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down from the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And you can read on about what happens, about how the Lord rebukes them for what they were doing and vindicates his servant Moses. But just look at verse 3 there, where it talks about Moses was very meek, more than all the people on the face of the earth. Let's start with that. When you read that phrase, if you hadn't thought about all the things we've already talked about meekness, and somebody says Moses is very meek, or someone is very meek, if I pick out somebody in the audience, I say, I describe you as, you are a very meek person. What's your impression? Yeah, Ruby. Those are good points. Just being quiet some time, listening to what others have to say. So just picture this situation for a moment. This is the reality of life. All right. You ever been in a situation where someone was talking about you and saying that you were not qualified for whatever it is that you were supposed to be involved with? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's as a parent, as a student. And somebody is saying, even to your face, that you can't do what you should be doing. All right? If you face that situation, most of us have in some way or another, what's our typical reaction there? What's that?
Sometimes we speak up and fight back.
Okay, sometimes we speak up and fight back.
But that should.
Okay. All right. Well, what if they're wrong?
Well, you can say what's right. And with calmness.
Yeah, you can say what's right with calmness, sure. All right.
Sometimes you can quench that anger and feel like you're not being about just saying.
Okay. All right. What else do you think, Kevin?
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but what commonly happens is we get real defensive and say things before we think because our emotions are all fired up.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's absolutely the case. A couple other ones here. Seth and David.
The best leaders aren't power hungry. They're not searching for the spotlight. And Moses, as we know from earlier, he was a reluctant leader.
Mm-hmm.
He I can't do this. And in fact, that's why Aaron became the helper to him.
Okay.
Because of God. But he wasn't out for the glory.
Okay.
And I think the people that can put that aside, they'll be the best in leadership role.
Okay. We're going to come back to a couple things you said there in just a moment there. David?
I was just going to say a lot of times we're in situations like that. Two responses that typically happen. You fight or you fight.
Okay.
And but when we talk about meekness, either one of those could be bad.
Okay.
And you may have to have a controlled response.
Yeah.
Fight is not the right answer. Flight isn't either.
That's
a lot of times you have to learn the facts and
right. So it's not the hiding from the situation. Moses didn't say anything yet, and God steps in here, and we'll talk about why. But not saying anything, not standing up for what needs to be stood up for, is not the answer. So when we think about the idea that we want to exhibit meekness in what we do. When we face a situation maybe where there's a great injustice, just not saying anything is not always the right way to go. Okay? So, a couple different things here. Eric?
We mentioned Moses. Exodus 2, this is basically the similar situation, right? He sees an Egyptian in conflict with the Hebrew people. What's he do? He doesn't have control.
Okay.
And he reacts out and kills the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so you talk about teachability.
Yes, that's a good point.
How much of that is on Moses' mind as he's going through his life thinking, control, because he's learned from that experience of I lashed out in a way that wasn't under control.
Right. And so he's able to be taught. I think that's a good point. We'll circle back to that in a minute too. Rich, then Art.
I was looking at Exodus 18, and when his father-in-law told him, Moses, what are you doing? You've been sitting and judging for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're wearing yourself out. You got to get some help.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being a puffed up individual, like, instead of look at me, I get to do all this. I'm the one they're coming to. Me.
Right.
It's not about me. It's serving the people. He actually was able to roll back, take a look at himself, and say, okay, what's the good of the people? And actually take this wise counsel and apply it.
Okay. There's another aspect of it. So I like where we're going with this. Let's keep thinking about it here. Art, did you have something?
Well, all I have is you have to look at the source that the criticism's coming from, and the individual, the one that just, he's always talking about himself. He's let it glim one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, a good source, you can discuss it with them. So there's some people that all they want to do is argue.
Okay. So having strength under control also is being able to recognize a situation and take the best course of action. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes people just want to argue. And what's profitable? How's that answer? We see Jesus deal with that in a very very wise way in some of the questions that come at him. So that's a good point. Anything else? So think about some of the things that we've noticed here just about Moses in this situation as we see this. Now, God vindicates him when you read through the rest of that, but one of the reasons I think that Moses was able to react the way that he did in this situation was not because he didn't care, not because he was too timid to say anything, but he had submitted himself to God. To Rich's point, he had learned some things, or Eric's point rather, he had learned some things over the years about just reacting. And he recognizes that God is in control. Go back to Psalm 37 that we looked at when we started the lesson. He trusted in God. He had committed his way to God, right? And so he understands that God has put him in this leadership position. This is not about pride. This is not about being puffed up, as a couple others brought up about Moses' character, but rather that God is in control of this, and he allows God to handle that situation and to do so in God's time. We see that Moses is a humble person. And I think Exodus 34 points that out. If you haven't turned over there, you see it on the screen there. Moses, the fact that he was able to be submissive to God shows his strength of character. Now, some may say about Moses, about him being, it's when verse, there in Numbers where it says he was a very meek man, more than all that were on the face of the earth. Don't take that statement for granted. I don't know how many people were on the earth at this point in time, but a lot. And of all of those, it's recorded that Moses was the most meek. So that's important to recognize. And he was humble. There's other verses that tell us that. But it doesn't mean he was without strength. That's what I want you to see in some of these things. Here in Exodus 34, notice this. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first." This is after the golden calf incident and the first tablets had been broken. Okay, "Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand two tablets of stone. First of all, this shows the idea that Moses is willing to submit to God. He's doing the very same thing again that he did the first time after an incident had happened. Don't just read over this, though. Would you watch a man who's able to do some of this, cut for yourself two tablets of stone? There's some work involved in that. All right? It's not, go get a couple of pieces of paper and bring them with you. I want to tell you something. I want you to write it down. Okay? There's work involved in what's happening here. He's got to do it again because of what had happened, because of what the children of Israel had done and the reaction that came from that. So I don't know how long that's going to take him, but it's going to take some time. Carry these up the mountain, and as a leader, make sure that all of the people understand what it is that they are supposed to do so that the wrath of God is not brought up again as it was a couple of chapters ago. That takes leadership and control and strength to be able to do that. This is not a timid person who is just kind of being pushed around by people and has a spokesman, his brother Aaron, to say things for him. Don't think of Moses that way. Think about what he has to do here. But he's submitting himself to God. He's going to do what God has asked him to do. He's doing it again, and it appears to be without question. Can you imagine facing different situations that we may face today when we're asked to do something a second or a third time? Maybe that has to do with our brethren in order to help them or to lead someone down the right path, and we get annoyed or we get frustrated or we think of all of the stuff that we have to do, and now we're going to have to put that aside and do this again. Think about what Moses did. That's strength under control, and he's able to do that. Yeah, Alan?
Didn't God cut the first half?
Back in Exodus 32, I don't remember without reading it, to be honest with you. I have to go back and read it again.
It's kind of,
Yeah.
I'm being punished. God got the first one. I'm being punished for what I did. I broke it, you said.
Well, and what you find here is, you know, him submitting to God's will. That's the point the author makes here. When we think about meekness, when we think about Moses, a big part of that is being able to submit. And that's one of the things that he does. Just look back here at Exodus 32. I've got a couple of those verses up here. When you see this example of meekness in Moses, in verse 32 and verse 9, or chapter 32, verse 9, "The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." This is after he's on the mountain the first time. And God lets him know the people are down there have built a golden calf and are worshiping this golden calf. Now, again, imagine where Moses may be. He's led these people as God has commanded him. He didn't want to do it in the first place. He did what God said. He brought them here. He's up on the mountain. He's in the presence of the Lord, trying to do something that is for the benefit of this people and the personal sacrifice he's making. Just put yourself in some of these situations of what you face. God tells him what the people are doing. Can you imagine how frustrated and how angry he probably was with them after all they had been through and all that they had seen, that they're down there melting their rings and earrings and pottery to make a golden calf. And then God tells him, I'm going to destroy them. What would be your reaction? What might someone be tempted to say in this situation when God tells them what's happening and he says, leave me alone, let my wrath burn hot against them, I'm going to destroy them? What might one be tempted to say?
Go ahead.
Yes. They deserve it. You're going to make a great nation out of me? That sounds great. Then we'll have things under control. We'll have things going the right direction, right? So think about that for just a minute, Jake.
Another reaction I can see happening is a doubt, like a blaming of God. Like, okay, so you had me do all this after everything I've already done, all the plans, everything, and now you're just going to kill them all? Like questioning God, perhaps.
Okay, questioning his motives.
Sure. Not being meek.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be another way to go of not meekness. Yeah, Mary, did you have something?
If you consider all in all, like from the very beginning, Moses is very reluctant to do this.
Yeah.
And the circumstances in which he finds himself, the people grumbling, and then he still intercedes on behalf. He intercedes on behalf of his brother and his sister who challenged his marriage.
Yeah.
And he says he prays for them. And then four chapters later in number 16, you have a rebellion. Mm-hmm. 250 men challenge Moses to his knees.
That's right.
And at that point, he says, let God show you who his chosen one is. He
right.
doesn't try to do, he doesn't mount his own Calvary or anything. He lets God intercede for himself.
That's right. Those are great points. And so we see the meekness of this man in all of these different situations. And here, it's what he referred to later in this chapter, in verse 11 of Exodus 32. Moses implored the Lord his God. So here goes Moses on behalf of these people who are right now worshiping a golden calf that they have taken great efforts to make, to forge, and he implores them, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? And he gives God the reasons why, don't do this. Your reputation is at stake, basically, is what he says. Don't do this. And in verse 14, it says the Lord resented from him the disaster he had spoken for bringing on his people. Moses was effective. Why is that? Because he was meek. Because he was controlled. Because he had strength, but he submitted to God. He had humility. And all the things that Merritt pointed out there, you see the humility of this man. That's what we want to learn from this. Because our society today, we are in the mode of, if something happens and somebody challenges us, we're going to be on that. Right? That's the mindset that is out there today. We're either going to be on it or we're just not going to say anything and ignore them. That's not what Moses did. Seth, did you have something?
I've always liked that in the back and forth between God and Moses, that they're not both ready to give up at the same time. Sometimes Moses is exasperated and back in the game, and sometimes it's the other way around.
Right, right. Yep, and you see there in verse 19 through 21, Moses's anger burned hot as well. So it doesn't mean that Moses didn't ever get frustrated. And it doesn't mean they didn't ever speak up, because he was a meek person, but we see him keep that under control. So, real quick here, let's think about Jesus as well. We can probably talk about Moses all class period and talk about Jesus all the next one, but we've got to move through this a little bit. So, think about Jesus as an example of meekness as well. And here in verse 11 and 29 of chapter 11 and verse 29 of Matthew, we see Jesus himself tell us that he wants us to be like him. Take my yoke upon you. So we've talked about that before. You put a yoke on two things, what happens? They're going to pull together, going to work together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So there's that idea of it being teachable again. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Some versions say meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. And so we see that about Jesus. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, all power and glory. And yet, what happens? We see him ride in on a donkey into Jerusalem because of his meekness, because of his humility. So how do we see it? We see him be humble. The writer of Philippians talks about that. We know those verses well. They get quoted a lot in sermons as we think about Jesus and what he was willing to do. But appreciate how this affects us and how we can apply these types of things. It talks about the status that Jesus has of being God, of having deity in verse 6. And that he made a choice. And that's what meekness is about. That you can make a choice to be under control. You can make a choice to be humble. You can make a choice to go in line and commit yourself to the way of God. That's what he did. That's what it talks about in verse 7. He made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant. He wasn't made a servant. He took that. So when you think about the idea of who do I think about that's meek? And what are some examples of that? How does that play into my day-to-day life? Think about Jesus and all that he willingly did. We say that often, but put that into daily practice. When you find yourself in a situation and you want to react, remember, I can choose like Jesus did. I can choose to be controlled. I can choose to react in the way that is most beneficial to the other person. And what is often the most beneficial is something that's going to help them save their soul. Right? That's what Jesus did. We see him patiently suffer. We don't have time to go into detail on that, but look there what Peter talks about. You know, he talks about being like Christ because Christ suffered for us, and he says he's leaving us an example. Notice verse 23. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. That's not common today. That's not easy to do, to not say something back. It says that when he suffered, he did not threaten. But rather he continued to trust himself to him who judges justly. Even in difficulties, we see him be righteous. Even when he expressed himself, like in the cleansing of the temple, he did so for the cause of his Father. It wasn't for his own glory. It wasn't because he walked around saying, "Don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. How dare you do this in the temple?" No, he did it because of the righteousness of God for someone else. That's strength under control. And we see, as we talked about earlier, about his ability to submit, to say twice in the same difficult situation as he's about to be crucified, "Not my will, yours, Father. I will submit to your will." So we see all those things, that even in the most difficult part of his crucifixion, he was able to ask for forgiveness for others. And all of those things together show us this idea of what meekness in practice is. It takes great self-control. It takes denying ourselves and saying we're going to give ourselves to God's purpose to be able to exhibit that type of thing. Next week, if you look in your books, those of you who have books, we're going to do lesson 7-8 together. We're going to do all of them at once. So it's about applying meekness. There was 1 and 2. We're going to put that all together and do it all next week and kind of move ahead because we have a shorter quarter this time. So look at lesson 7 and 8 for next week. Thank you very much.